is risen.
He is risen indeed. Hallelujah.
He is risen indeed. Alleluia.
He is risen indeed. Hallelujah.
He has risen indeed. Hallelujah.
He is risen indeed. Hallelujah.
Jesus is risen. Hallelujah.
He is risen indeed. Hallelujah.
He is risen indeed. Hallelujah.
He has risen indeed. Hallelujah.
He is risen indeed. Hallelujah.
He is risen indeed. Hallelujah.
Good morning and happy Easter to you all. It's wonderful to be back with you on this Easter Sunday, and a very warm welcome to all of the St. Andrews and All Saints family. And if you are joining us for the first time or from beyond the St. Andrews and All Saints family, you are very warmly welcome to join us this morning. And happy Easter. Well, before we get any further, families, if you've got children with you, printer, I want to recommend you to print off the resources that are on the website, in particular the scavenge hunt. Now, we'll come on to that later, but that will be useful to you. And also, we're going to share communion later. Now, and if you're comfortable, you might want to get some bread and some wine or some grape juice to be able to participate that in later, and we'll explain more about that later. But if you want to pause at this moment, get those things and then come back and begin again. Well, I've been part of a conversation over the last week or two with some other curates about whether it's appropriate to celebrate today in light of everything that's been going on in the coronavirus crisis. Well, as we've said often over recent weeks, this is a strange time. But I think it was never more strange than on that first Easter Sunday. Can you imagine Mary arriving in the garden, going to the tomb and finding the stone pushed away, the tomb empty, and then having a conversation with an angel? That would have been pretty strange. Then the disciples follow on before, after her rather, to see what's going on, to check out what Mary has said, and again, to find the tomb empty. That would have been pretty strange. And then imagine the following days when Jesus then showed himself to them and came and sat amongst them, stood amongst them, encouraged them and continued to teach them. Strange times indeed. And these are strange times. And if there is anything that we as a Christian faith community should be, I think, is able freely to celebrate, even in difficult times, knowing that there is a God who loves us, that is a God who rose from the dead, overcame death, and is alive and reigns today. So it is a day, I think, to be able to celebrate. And so we are now going to sing our first hymn, Thine Be the Glory. And then after this song, there's going to be a montage of some of the creative things that you've been up to over the last week. So let us sing and then enjoy the creativeness of our community.
Endless is the victory, thou, O death.
scatters fear and gloom. Let the church with gladness, hymns of triumph sing.
Story. After their first supper together, Jesus and the disciples went to a place called Gethsemane. And Jesus said to his disciples, "Sit here while I pray." Jesus began to be deeply distressed and troubled. "My soul is overwhelmed with sorrow to the point of death." Going a little further, he fell to the ground and prayed that if possible the hour might pass from him. "Abba, Father," he said, "everything is possible for you. Take this cup from me, yet not what I will, but what you will." Judas, one of the 12, appeared. With him was a crowd armed with swords and clubs, sent from the chief priests, the teachers of the law, and the elders. They arrested him and took him away. So they bound Jesus, led him away, and handed him over to Pilate. "Are you the king of the Jews?" asked Pilate. "You have said so," Jesus replied. Now it was the custom at a festival to release a prisoner. "Do you want me to release you to the king of the Jews?" asked Pilate. But the chief priest stirred up the crowd to get Pilate to release Barabbas instead. "What shall I do, then, with the one you call the king of Jews?" Pilate asked them. "Crucify him!" they shouted. Wanting to satisfy the crowd, Pilate released Barabbas to them. He had Jesus flogged and handed him over to be crucified. They brought Jesus to a place called Golgotha, which means the place of the skull. Dividing up his clothes, they cast lots to see what each would get. It was 9 in the morning when they crucified him. The written notice of the charge against him read, "The King of the Jews." They crucified 2 rebels with him, one on his right and one on his left. Those who passed by hurled insults at them, shaking their heads. At noon, darkness came over the whole land until 3 in the afternoon. And at 3 in the afternoon, Jesus cried out in a loud voice, my God, why have you forsaken me?" With a loud cry, Jesus breathed his last. And when the centurion who stood there in front of Jesus saw how he died, he said, "Surely this man was the Son of God." As evening approached, Joseph of Arimathea bought some linen cloth, took down the body, wrapped it in the linen, and placed it in a tomb cut out of rock. Then he rolled a stone against the entrance of the tomb. Very early on the first day of the week, Mary Magdalene and some of the disciples were on their way to the tomb. But when they looked up, they saw that the stone, which was very large, had been rolled away. As they entered the tomb, they saw a young man dressed in a white robe sitting on the right side. And they were alarmed. "Don't be alarmed," he said. "You are looking for Jesus the Nazarene, who was crucified. He has risen. He is not here. Rejoice, rejoice. He has risen. Hope is risen. Death has been defeated. Happy Easter."
Enjoyed all that creativity, and well done to everybody that's been involved, whether we show pictures of what you've been up to or not. Well done. And also thank you for all those that have been doing those reflective moments each day during Holy Week. We're very grateful for all that you've done and contributed there. Now, we're as a whole just going to stay together through this service. And for those that have printed off the Easter scavenge hunt, this list that we've got here, what we want to encourage you is when Dave comes and teaches us about the fact that everything has changed, that's the topic of today, then perhaps the children would like to go off and do this scavenge hunt. And you'll see, for those that have printed it off, it's all related to the story. So so the things that we need to find, things like Jesus was dressed in a purple robe, and therefore the children need to go and find something that is purple. And then Jesus was nailed to a cross, and perhaps you'd like to go and find something that is wooden. And of course, you can follow the list. Then at the end, you can see what you've gathered. But that, I hope, will be a bit of fun for the children. So we're going to continue to worship. And then after the worship, we have George and Eloise, who's going to read the scripture this morning. And then Dave is going to do the teaching. So let us continue to worship.
My mind to Calvary, where Jesus bled and died for me. I see his wounds, his hands, his feet, my Savior on that cursed tree. His body bound and drenched in tears, they laid him down in Joseph's tomb, the entrance sealed by heavy stone. Messiah still and all alone. Oh, praise the name of the Lord our God. Oh, praise his name forevermore. For endless days we will sing your praise. Oh Lord our God. And on the third, I pray
rising sun shall pierce the night, and I will rise among the saints, my gaze transfixed on Jesus' face.
They wept, the morning sun was dead, the Savior of the world was fallen, his body on the cross, his blood poured out for us, the weight of every curse upon him. sing hallelujah. We sing hallelujah. We sing hallelujah. The Lamb has overcome. We sing hallelujah. We sing hallelujah. We sing hallelujah. The Lamb has overcome. We sing hallelujah.
This reading is taken from Luke 24, verses 13 to 35. On the road to Emmaus. Now that same day, two of them were going to a village called Emmaus, about 7 miles from Jerusalem. They were talking with each other about everything that had happened. As they walked and discussed these things with each other, Jesus himself came up and walked along with them, but they were kept from recognizing him.
He asked them, "What are you discussing together as you walk along?"
They stood still, their faces downcast. One of them, named Cleopas, asked him, "Are you the only one visiting Jerusalem who does not know the things that had happened there in these days?"
"What things?" he asked.
"About Jesus of Nazareth," they replied. "He was a prophet, powerful in word and deed before God and all the people. The chief priests and our rulers handed him over to be sentenced to death, and they crucified him. But we had hoped that he was the one who was going to redeem Israel. And what is more, it is the third day since all of this took place. In addition, some of our women amazed us. They went to the tomb early this morning, but they didn't find his body. They came and told us that they had seen a vision of angels who said he was alive. Then some of our companions went to the tomb and found it was just as the women had said, but they did not see Jesus."
He said to them, "How foolish you are, and how slow of heart to believe all that the prophets have spoken. Did not the Christ have to suffer these things, and then enter his glory?" And beginning with Moses and all the prophets, he explained to them what was said in all scriptures concerning himself. As they approached the village to which they were going, Jesus acted as if he was going further, but they urged him strongly.
"Stay with us, for it is nearly evening and the day is almost over."
So he went in to stay with them. When he was at the table with them, he took bread, gave thanks, broke it, and began to give it to them. Then their eyes were opened and they recognized him. And he disappeared from their sight. They asked each other,
"Were not our hearts burning within us while he talked with us on the road and opened the scriptures to us?" They got up and returned at once to Jerusalem. There they found the 11 and those with them assembled together and saying, "It is true, the Lord has risen and has appeared to Simon." Then the two told what had happened on the way and how Jesus was recognized by them when he broke the bread.
It was late afternoon on that first Easter Sunday when Cleopas and his friend were walking away from Jerusalem and on to Emmaus. A bit like us, their world had been turned upside down. Their lives had been utterly shattered by the week's events. They were overcome with grief and disappointment. Disappointment that all they'd hoped, all they'd lived for, All their dreams of a new and different future had just died before their eyes. They felt alone and abandoned now, and fearful even of their own lives. They felt confused that this man who'd performed miracles, this man who'd stilled storms, this man who'd even raised others from the dead, was not able to save himself. They felt let down. Let down that this man who they had journeyed with, who they trusted, who had promised so much to them, was now dead. It was over. And so they were leaving Jerusalem and the place of sorrow and pain, the place where their hopes had died. And they were off to Emmaus to start again, to rebuild a new life, to try and find a new direction and a new hope. And so on they walked, on they journeyed, talking, processing, trying to make sense of all that had just happened. But as they walked, there was a much bigger picture emerging, which they couldn't yet see. For this was not the end of the story. For as they walked, everything had changed, but they didn't realise it yet. As they walked, hope had been restored, but they couldn't grasp it yet. And as they walked, Jesus was in their midst, but they didn't recognise him yet. Everything had changed because the tomb was empty. Jesus was no longer dead, but he'd risen. He was alive. And this changed everything. It changed everything because it proved that Jesus was who he said he was, that he wasn't just another false prophet bringing false hope, but it was proof that he really was the Messiah, the Son of God, the Saviour of the world. It changed everything because it proclaimed that death had been defeated, that death no longer had to have the last word. But for all those who put their trust in Jesus, an amazing future is there for us beyond the grave. A future free of suffering, of pain, of sickness, and of death. For all of eternity. For Jesus had said himself just weeks earlier, I am the resurrection and the life. He who believes in me will live, even though he dies. What a hope that is for each and every one of us, especially in times such as these. And it changed everything because it declared that even in the darkest place, even in the most hopeless circumstances, that God is there and at work, bringing transformation, bringing restoration, bringing new life. For on that first Good Friday, when all seemed lost, where it looked like failure, where light and hope seemed to have gone forever, when there was only despair and pain and suffering, God was doing his greatest work. The work of restoring a broken world to himself. The work of taking that deadly spiritual virus that we call sin. Sin that isolates us, that separates us from God. And dealing with it there on the cross. For the Bible declares that through his death, Jesus provided the greatest antidote of all time for you and for me. So that through his death, we could be healed. We could be forgiven from our past. We could be released from our shame and isolated from our Creator God no longer. 2 Peter 3:18 in the New Living Translation says it in a lovely way. It says, Christ suffered for our sins once for all time. He never sinned, but he died for sinners to bring you safely home to God. He suffered physical death, but he was raised to life in the Spirit. The Easter story changes everything and brings the greatest hope of all time. And the Easter story speaks into difficult times such as these and declares that in the suffering, in the pain, in the loneliness, in the death, in the fear, in all that we can't make sense of, the God who suffered is here in the suffering and isolation, in the fear and the anxiety. He is here journeying with us, somehow still working his purposes out. And through all of this, he will bring transformation and new life and resurrection. And as Cleopas and his friend invited Jesus in to stay and eat with them that evening, as they sat down at the table, as they watched this stranger break bread before them, in the brokenness of the bread, there in the brokenness of their own lives, they finally realised. They finally realised that everything had changed. They finally realised the amazing hope of Easter. They finally realised that the risen Jesus was in their midst and had been walking with them all along. And in that instant, they themselves were changed. They were overcome with joy, and hope burnt brightly again in their hearts. Their waning faith was once again resurrected. And they left immediately and returned to Jerusalem. Jerusalem, that place of their brokenness and pain, now became their place of joy and celebration. And they proclaimed the news to all those they met. It is true. The Lord has risen. Easter hope. It changes everything. And so I wonder where each of us find ourselves in this story. Where are we on our own journeys this strange and unique Easter Sunday? Maybe you're not yet someone of faith. Maybe you're metaphorically and secretly poking your head into church today to see what it's like, to see what message of hope this Christian faith might bring you at these difficult times. Well, you know, we're delighted that you're here, and so is God. You are really welcome. And I believe that God wants to encounter you today in the midst of this crisis. I believe that on this unfamiliar and disorientating coronavirus journey that we're all on, that God wants to reveal to you that he has been there walking with you through all of this difficult journey, even though you may not have recognised him. He wants to reveal to you the great Easter hope that he loves you, that Jesus died for you, that you can have your past wiped clean, your present transformed, and an amazing future beyond the grave. And he wants to give you life in all its fullness. And he wants to show you the great message of the Easter story is that you don't have to earn it. You don't have to be good enough, for Jesus paid it all on the cross for each of us. So we simply have to come to God. To come and say sorry for going our own way. Thank you for what you've done for us on the cross. And yes, I want to follow your way. I want to come home and live your way. You know, if that's you, we'd love to hear from you and support you further. I'd love you to drop me an email and we can chat more in the days ahead and see the links to further information on our website under this service. Or maybe as you watch today, you're someone whose faith has waned in recent times. Maybe you relate to many of the feelings that those two travellers had on that day. Maybe you've struggled with the disappointments of life, where things haven't worked out as you'd hoped. Maybe you've been let down. Maybe you've been wounded by hurts from the past and not been able to make sense of where God has been in all of the difficult times that you faced. Maybe you've even been quietly walking away from God, from church, leaving it all behind, looking for a new direction and a new hope. But today, Easter Day, in this season where we're all being disorientated and reorientated, the risen Jesus wants to meet you afresh, to meet you in your brokenness and confusion, and reveal himself more deeply than he ever has before. He wants you to see the big picture again, the big picture of the cross and the resurrection, which changes everything.
He wants you to know again the resurrection power and hope which is in you, but maybe has lain dormant for a while. He wants to set your heart on fire with joy again. He wants to empower you with his love afresh. And he's saying to you today, turn around and come home again. Come back and face the place of your pain and struggles again with me. And allow my resurrection power to transform it, to transform you. I want to resurrect your faith again and bring you new life, new purpose, and new intimacy. And for others, for those of you who have known Jesus walking strongly with you in this season, may you allow the deep truths of this Easter story to sink deeper than they ever have before inside of you. In this time of global crisis, in this time of uncertainty, in this time of confusion, loneliness and fear, allow Jesus to draw closer to you than ever before. Hold on to the truths that God works in the darkest places to bring life and resurrection. Ask him to set alight that hope and resurrection power in you like never before, so that you too can become a hope bringer at this time to a broken and needy world, as those first disciples did. Proclaim with all your heart and to everyone you're in contact with that Easter changes everything. That the Lord has risen. That Jesus is alive. That he is in our midst and walking with us, bringing us an eternal hope and a peace. And so let us be still. Let us pause. Let us allow the Jesus who met those followers on that road that day meet us. So, Father God, we thank you that Easter changes everything. We thank you that you transform even the darkest of times and bring life and resurrection. Meet with us. Give us your life. Give us your peace. And transform us, we pray. Amen.
We now come to a time of prayer, and what we thought on this occasion is that we want to encourage you to pause this service, and whether you're alone or with others, spend a time lifting your hopes and expectations for this Easter and your own prayers to the Lord, and then we'll come back together in just a moment and share communion. Welcome back. In a moment, we're going to share communion. And as I mentioned earlier, you may want to get some bread or some wine or some grape juice to share as a symbol of us all joining together. I believe that we are joined with Christ in the heavenly realms, in the spiritual realms, and therefore we are united together. And though I have the privilege of taking communion on behalf of us all, I believe we can be together in the spirit, and therefore I hope that this will be a blessing to you. But before we say communion or have communion together, why don't we say the peace together? So the risen Christ came and stood among the disciples and said, "Peace be with you." Then were they glad when they saw the Lord. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. The peace of the risen Christ be always with you and also with you. And shall we show a sign of peace to one another? So we come to a time of communion. The Lord be with you and also with you. Lift up your hearts. We lift them to the Lord. Let us give thanks to the Lord our God. It is right to give thanks and praise. It is right to praise you, Father, Lord of all creation. In your love, you made us for yourself. When we turned away, you did not reject us, but came to meet us in your Son. You embraced us as your children and welcomed us to sit and eat with you. In Christ, you shared your life, that we might live in him and he in us. He opened his arms of love upon the cross and made for all the perfect sacrifice for sin. And on the night he was betrayed, at supper with his friends, he took bread and gave you thanks. He broke it and gave it to them, saying, "Take, eat. This is my body, which is given for you. Do this in remembrance of me." Father, we do this in remembrance of him. His body is the bread of life. At the end of supper, taking the cup of wine, he gave you thanks and said, "Drink this, all of you. This is my blood of the new covenant, which is shed for you for the forgiveness of sins. Do this in remembrance of me." Father, we do this in remembrance of him. His blood is shed for all. As we proclaim his death and celebrate his rising in glory, send your Holy Spirit that this bread and this wine may be to us the body and blood of your dear Son. And as we eat and drink these holy gifts, make us one in Christ, our risen Lord. With your whole church throughout the world, we offer you this sacrifice of praise and lift our voice to join the eternal song of heaven. Holy, holy, holy Lord, God of power and might, heaven and earth are full of your glory. Hosanna in the highest. And so shall we say together, wherever we are, the Lord's Prayer. Our Father who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our trespasses, as we forgive those who trespass against us. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom, the power and the glory, for ever and ever. Amen. Jesus says, "I am the bread of life. Whoever eats this bread will live forever." Lord, our hearts hunger for you. Give us this bread always. So this Easter time, draw near with faith. And even though we're apart, we draw close together in our spirits, that we are united in Christ. And though I take this on behalf of us all, we are together and as one. I say the post-communion prayer. Almighty God, we thank you for feeding us with the body and blood of your Son, Jesus Christ. through him, we offer you our souls and bodies to be a living sacrifice. Send us out into the power of your Spirit to live and work for your praise and glory. Amen. We are now going to sing our next worship song on this happiest of days, Happy Days. Coming to the end of our service on this Easter day. But children, how have you been doing on your scavenging hunt? Look, we've got an additional member of the family who's come to join us. What is on your tray, I wonder? Well, I've got a few things that we needed to find. So I've got something purple. This is my purple stole. So let me put that on. Then we had to get something prickly for the crown of thorns. So I've got a very, very prickly piece of thorn there. We needed a big leaf for some palm fronds. So there we go, big leaf, rhubarb flourishing at this moment. Got a big nail. That was one of the things, wasn't it? Jesus was nailed to the cross. How are you doing? Did you manage to find some of these things? I've got a stone. Why did we need a stone? A rock. When Jesus died, the body was put in a stone grave. So we've got a stone. This is Archie. And then we had to find something that smells nice. Now, you might be familiar with this at this time. This is a hand cleanser, but this has got a really nice smell. Why do we need something to smell nice? The woman disciples took loving smelling spices and put them on Jesus' body. Well, that's just a few of many of the things that you had to find. I hope you've managed to get everything. So in a moment, I'm going to say the blessing, but there's a little surprise. After the blessing, there's a little surprise which you might want to just hang on and watch. Not something we could do this year in person, but you might enjoy seeing last year's. But let me say a blessing on this Easter Sunday. God the Father, by whose love Christ was raised from the dead, open to you who believe the gates of everlasting life. Amen. And the blessing of God Almighty, the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit be among us and remain with us now and always. Amen. Well, have a lovely Easter day and happy Easter to you all.
Hey Google, he is risen.
He is risen indeed. Hallelujah.
He is risen indeed. Hallelujah.
He's risen indeed. Hallelujah.